Turn with me in our text in Luke chapter 24. Verse 6 says, as they were given the message, "He is not here. He has risen." Remember, would you circle that word, please? Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8 is the fulcrum. And they remembered his words. When they remembered from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And they remembered his words. The way we want to approach this day of celebration and joy. For even as any mother, after she gives birth to the child, she forgets the labor pains. But there's so much to be learned about that time of the pain, the fear that the disciples endured during those 3 days and three nights. You got to ask the question. The Lord spent 3 years with them, teaching them, showing them, performing miracles they could have never imagined. But everything they saw and learned for those 3 days and three nights, it's as if nothing had ever happened. What was going on in their minds during those 3 days? Because whatever they were going through, it's what you and I are going through. Something you may be going through right now. And the reason is, it's because we don't remember. Think of all the times, of all the things you've been through, and the fear, and the crying, the praying, and then God came through. Life, sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns, butterflies all over the place. Then trouble hits again, and you act as if God has never answered any of your prayers. Because you don't remember. It's a curious thing, this memory thing. They say that the first thing that goes is your memory. And interestingly enough, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the reason sometimes we live our lives as a pinball, bouncing from one trouble to another, acting as if there is no God, is because we don't remember. Celebration, yes. Joy, definitely. But why the sorrow? Why the fear? Why don't we remember? You may have heard the story about a city slicker, a young man from the city, going to visit an uncle at the farm, someone like Jerry. And when he got there, seeing all of the farm animals, the cows and the dogs, and the farmer, he whistled. And all of a sudden, the dog began to corral all of the cows into the pen. And then afterwards, the dog closed the gate with a paw. And the kid was so amazed. And what kind of dog is this? So smart. What's his name? And so the farmer looked at the boy and thought for a while, like Jerry does. And he asked the boy, "What's that flower that's red and smells so good and even has thorns?" The kid said, "A rose." Farmer said, "Yeah, that's right, Rose." Then he turned to his wife, "Rose, honey, what do we call that dog?" We forget. We forget the things that we should not forget. Especially our relationship with the Lord, which tells you things before they happen, which he did to the disciples. "In this world you will have trouble." He told us that. Strange thing about memory. You can know something very deeply, but in a moment of crisis, you forget. What happened to those disciples? For 3 years, they saw things that we can only imagine. Well, just like the Israelites, For 40 years they walked with God. They saw one great miracle after another, beginning with the parting of the sea or their redemption from Egypt. But every time they were hungry and every time they were thirsty, they were acting as if God has never done anything for them. Kind of like you and me. We see miracles every day, and they're so easily forgotten. Are you forgetful? I guarantee you that some of you have forgotten something on the way to church this morning. I was telling a previous church in a previous time how important it is that they got to love their wives, and they got to tell their wives every day, many times throughout the day, I love you. And you're the most important person in my life. And I had one man in my church that said, I told her at the altar, and she better not forget it. Not like that. But the point is, once God has spoken, he doesn't take his word back. The problem is that we forget it. There's six things that they say that we forget. Number six, we forget faces. 42% of people forget faces. Number five, 49% of the people forget what was said. Now, I guarantee you, most of you do not remember last week's message. Number four, 53% of people forget words. I'm there. What's that word which is trying to say the other thing? Wait a minute, it's on the tip of my tongue, is what we say. We forget words. Number three, we forget it. It's much higher now. 57% forget telephone numbers. You don't even know your wife's phone number because your phone knows it these days. We relinquish that memory power because we're lazy. 60%, number two, people forget where something has been placed. Yep, we know about that. And number one, 83% of the people forget names. And if you can't remember whether you've just done something this morning, you join the 38% of the population. Do you forget what you had for dinner last night? We forget. Our tendency is to park our brains, to be told, to be led, to be given the solution without the struggle that teaches us. We forget, and we take the same attitude to God's word. Firefighter once said that in training, they repeatedly drill one command: stay low in the smoke. Stay low in the smoke. And it's what you practice, what becomes mechanical as your reaction. It's what's going to save your life. But in a real fire, when the panic sets in, many stand up, and that instinct costs them their lives. You wonder what we keep saying. Read the word. Love the word. Because that is what's going to save your life. But we, like children, we forget. And we wonder if God even cares. With the disciples, it's not that they were never told. It's what the Lord kept on telling them and repeating to them. But in the moment, when he was taken and he was beaten, when he was being crucified, they forgot. You got to think, what was happening in Peter's mind? All the other ones ran away. They got lost in the dark. Peter followed from a distance because he remembered something, but he did not remember the most important thing. What was going on in his mind when that servant girl remarked that you're one of his disciples? What was he thinking before he denied that he knew him? He was the same guy that pulled out the one sword they had and cut Malchus's ear. He had courage, he had strength. He was going to go and tear the world apart. But in that moment, he forgot. And this is exactly where we find the disciples within these 3 days and three nights. And I wonder if any of them slept. Could you sleep? If your Lord and Master would have been taken and he had been crucified, we find them desperate. They're not ignorant. They're overwhelmed. They're not even uninformed. What they are is unremembering. and that is my burden, and that is your problem. You don't remember. Sometimes, actually, we don't know enough to have forgotten what we should remember, and that's why we ask, why God? Why is God allowing this and doing that? Look at Psalm 119, verse 16. Would you turn with me? Psalm 119, verse 16. He says, I shall delight in your statutes. That delight, you know what that delight is like? Have you ever eaten something, whether dessert or a meal? This is what I do. When it's so good, I close my eyes. Do you know why? I'm shutting off any other sensory that I have so I can concentrate all my senses to my taste buds. It's so good. Delighting in the law of the Lord is exactly that. Where you turn off everything else and you delight in that word, that phrase, that truth, that declaration, that presence. I shall delight in your statutes. And here it is. I shall not forget your word. That implies many things. Implies knowing, implies memorizing, implies meditating. So therefore, I'm not going to forget it. That's the beginning and the end. Now we can go home, right? Psalm 119, verse 93. I shall never forget your precepts. Why? For by them you have revived me. How do I get revived? How do I get strength? How do I get vision? How do I get life? In His Word, His precepts, principles, His teaching. How? What happened? You've revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. Save me because I have loved your word more than anything else. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore this memory thing, this forgetting thing, which is the killer of your joy. When you forget who He is, when you forget what He has said, when you forget what He has promised, your life will fall apart. You will act as if you've never heard. You will act like the non-believers, for you got nothing to believe in because you have not learned it, memorized it, meditated, believed it. Here's the first thing that they forgot. They forgot the revelation, the unveiling. He told them, blessed are you because you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Why do you speak to them in parables, but then you explain things to us? He revealed to them behind the curtain who He really was. And yet they still ran away. They forgot the revelation. But it's not because they weren't told. He told them exactly who He was. This is the foundation. Actually, it's all that we need to handle the fear of tomorrow. Knowing who He is. Any child that trusts and believes in his father, if his father is mighty, tall, and tough, that no one, my dad can beat up your dad. There's no fear because daddy's there. He can handle a Rottweiler and a bear and a screaming mother. They run to daddy to save them. The reason we run and the reason we cower, is it because we don't know who he is? John 14, 28. Turn with me to John 14, 28. He actually makes it very clear. He spells it out for them and for us when he says, you heard that I said to you, I told you this, I'm going to go away, but I will come back to you. I will come to you. I'm going to go, but I'm going to come. I'm going to come back to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. In other words, you have understood what I've told you. I go to my Father. I go to prepare your place, that where I am, you may also be. I'm going to come back and take you with me. If you understood that, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Here it is. And now I have told you before it happens. All of the terror, all of the hatred, all of the demon-infused Roman soldiers. He said it's going to happen. So that when it happens, ready? You may believe. You got to have that connection in knowing what the Father says so that when it does happen, and we're not talking about prophecies coming off the heads of people. We're talking about the Word of God. Clear things that Jesus had given us. I have told you these things so when that they happen, you believe. The reason people don't believe is because they have not heard or understood or believed the first thing He told us, which is in His Word. So before we judge them too harshly, we got to realize that forgetting who Jesus is will always distort how we see everything else. Forgetting who Jesus is will change and distort the way you see life. That's when the giants grow bigger and the storm is greater. That's when you wonder where, because you have forgotten who Jesus is. Look at a few things that He revealed to them. He spoke to them plainly, as He does to us. Look at the revelation of His deity. And even that should have been enough, both for them and for us. He clearly showed, spoken, and demonstrated. Look at John 8:58. He told them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was," for they said that, "Oh, Abraham is our father." He said, "Listen, before Abraham was," He used the name of Yahweh. When Moses asked, "Who are you?" if they ask me, "Who sent me?" tell them, "I am that I am." So this is not bad grammar, either in English or in Aramaic. He is giving them a doctrinal truth of eternity. Before Abraham was your father ever, Yahweh, I am. That would have stopped them in their walk, because Jesus tells them, "I am before Abraham." He is deity. After all, as Peter's the one that tells the little girl, "I don't know who He is," wasn't it Peter that said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God"? Did he get a sudden amnesia attack? Did he hit his head on something? How was he saying, "I've never even heard of this man"? He forgot, even as you and I do. Jesus tells them in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Elevating His status, His standing above all the prophets they've ever known, saying, "I am Yahweh." John 14:9, "He that has seen me," Philip, what do you mean you want to see the Father? It's as if you go to someone's home for dinner and they prepare the good food. They spend days preparing that food and they can't wait to give it to you to see the satisfaction on your face. And as you're eating it, you ask them, "What's after this? You got anything better?" So He's been living with them. He has been performing all these miracles. And Philip says, "You know what? We want the next best thing. Show us the Father." "What are you talking about?" Jesus says. "Have I been with you so long that you have not come to know me, Philip? Who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" He revealed to them plainly and clearly, spoken it out, as He does to us in the Word. And yet we say, "Where is God? How can I be saved from this?" And His Word is right in our hands, and we go to anyone and everyone else that can help us to tell us something we can do about the problem, when the answer is right in the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus identified Himself with the eternal God of Israel, and not just as a symbolic language. This was a divine claim. And the resurrection vindicates that claim. No one takes my life from me, he says. I lay it down and I take it back up again. They forgot who he was. It was so bad when the women told them, we've seen Jesus. They said, you've lost your mind. The second revelation, we find those riveting I am statements. Not the I do or the I give or the you can have. He brings it all within himself, I am. If we were to understand these in the mindset of our hearts, we would no longer tremble and fear when we're given 6 months to live. Because we believe that he's resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die, / ever, is what he said. Look at the I am statements. Imagine being lost in a storm at sea. No compass, no light, no direction. Imagine someone handing to you bread so you would not be starving, a light when you're blind, a door when you're trapped, or more than anything else, a shepherd when you're wandering and have no idea where to go. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. These are the deep satisfactions of the heart, which leads people to buy more of this and some more of the other, bigger of the other thing, because their souls are so dried up. And they want to satisfy that longing and emptiness where Jesus says, if you have me, I am the bread that satisfies. And this is where Paul says, I have had plenty. I have had less. I am content with what I've had. I've learned this because he satisfies the soul. He is the bread. I am the bread of life. He also said, I am the light of the world. He is the guide who offers both clarity and hope to those who are in spiritual darkness, no idea which way to go. In his word, we find that light, which actually your reaction would be, I get it. It's not good, but it's okay. I get it. I am the light of the world. Further, he says, I am the door. Or the gate of the sheep. I am the way, he says. In other words, he shows his deep commitment to his disciples and followers. He's the only entrance to salvation. And the one that protects those who are in his care. I am the door of the sheep. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. Laying down his life to protect us. And to guide us, if they remembered all these I am declarations, commitments, and covenants, they would not have been running around for 3 days and three nights in fear and desperation. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. 4 days they waited for Jesus to speak the word from the distance that Lazarus would be healed because he's done it before. One word, Lord, they told him, listen, Lazarus, your friend, is sick. All you got to do, Lord, is think about it. He'll be well. He did nothing. And the disciples are stomping their feet and twiddling their thumbs. When are we going? When are we going? He's going to die. And then he tells them, let's go. Our friend Lazarus is dead. Well, big, big help right now, Lord. But he goes with them so he would be able to say this. I am the resurrection and the life. Not just I give it, I am that life. Then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I guide, I hold, I stand in your life as the truth, and I give you that eternal life, the only pathway to God, the only relationship with God the Father, and the ultimate source of truth, which is actually the one thing that's been attacked in our nation and world in the last few years, where people, as they've taken the rainbow, they've taken this idea of the truth, and they say, well, let me tell you my truth. I lose my mind when I hear that. It may be your opinion, but it's got nothing to do with truth, even though you call it your truth. Because truth is not relative. You can't change that reality as you would math, even though that doesn't work. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. And I thought about that, about an argument made even a couple of days ago on the argument of this math that everybody can feel good about. You know what? 2 + 2 = 5 as long as it's on paper. But if when it comes to you receiving money, 2 + 2 real quick is the right amount. Because you want what's coming to you, right? Truth is one truth. God's truth. Jesus is the truth. And everything else he established in the world as we know it. Go ahead and argue with your truth when you jump out of a plane without a parachute saying, I'm going to float. Have at it. Your truth will crash and burn. And then he tells them, oh, he tells us, he talks and he speaks through John in the book of Revelation, encompassing everything he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I hold all things in my hands. This is not just information. It's the intervention in our lives, knowing who he is. Changes everything. And here's the truth. When life gets dark, we don't need new truth. We just need to remember the old truth, the ancient truth of the Alpha. You see, when you feel empty, the Lord Jesus is your bread. When you feel lost, the Lord Jesus is the way. And when you feel afraid, he's the shepherd, the good shepherd. When we're alone and we deal with issues in life and life itself, we're paralyzed by the what. And the reason we're paralyzed by the what is because we have forgotten the who. We focus on the what. We forget that God is in control and that his love for us means both redemption and discipline. Means also salvation and hardship, because these things, they work at our hearts to cut away the fat and the stone that we ultimately would be like him, Jesus. We fear the detours in our lives. We wonder why God is not allowing this as we thought he promised, and how come we're not there already, and we know all about detours right now in the valley. We fear the detours because we have forgotten that our destination is heaven. This is not it. After you spend enough time in the storm, it may have been necessary for the disciples to spend 3 days and 3 nights in their sorrow, fear, and darkness, because it's in that storm you realize that maybe all your life you're anchored in a religious float instead of that anchor in the rock. You did all these things hoping you get all this return. You follow this and ran after that, and it all falls apart. And God says, are you done? I am the way. People need 3 days and 3 nights. Of awakening desperation. You see, he was with them for 3 years, everywhere, all the time, every day, and yet, you remember Philip in 14, we saw it earlier, Lord, show us the Father. Do you not realize, do you not believe, verse 10, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak for myself, but the Father abiding in me, He does the works. What are we missing when we forget these things? We forget the Word, we forget who He is, and we run headlong into the problem, and we don't remember who He is. Jesus did say that we would receive the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. The Teacher, He's the Guide. The Holy Spirit that will lead us in all truth. But here's the catch. Look at John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Advocate. Who's the Advocate? The Holy Spirit. Where is He coming from? The Father will send Him in my name. So it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit working together. They're not separated in anything. And He will teach you all things. And many people say, I want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the way the Holy Spirit teaches anyone. He actually follows that up by saying, listen, He will teach you all things. How? By bringing to your remembrance all that I said to you. Nothing is separated from what has been written and what has been given. It is the source of life. It is the redemption in the darkness. The Holy Spirit will teach you, but He's only going to teach you and remind you if you know the things that I've spoken to you, and that's the Word of God. To remember, you must know, and to know, you must read. Actually, this is the answer to a very tough saying of the Lord. Turn to John. Turn to John 6, 54 through 58. Turn to John 6, 54 through 58. Because of what He said here, a lot of people left because it didn't make sense. Actually, it sounds pretty gruesome. But you've got to hang around a bit to understand what God is doing. There's no drive-through relationship here. You've got to abide to understand. John 6, 54, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Is he being a cannibal? What is he talking about? It's where the Catholic Church has misunderstood this, and they have added the doctrine of transubstantiation. Say that 10 times. Believing that every Sunday when they have communion, that bread and that cup turns into the actual flesh, the actual blood of Christ. And that's nowhere clear in Scripture. That's an imagination trying to bridge the gap of what He was trying to explain to them later, what it means to eat the flesh and drink the blood. What are you talking about, Lord? Because He says, for my flesh is true food. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Imagine being a brand new believer and doing this number and reading that. Like, I'm done with this. No, that's not what that means. My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So we go back to John 14 where He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. And then He actually gives the secret word that defines this. He said, if my words abide in you, flesh equals words. Wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became? Whoa, wait a minute. You add that secret answer to the formula, he who eats my word and drinks from my word has eternal life. For my word is true food and my word is the true drink. And He tells the woman, whoever drinks this will never thirst again. He who eats my word and drinks my word abides in me and I in him. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so I may not sin against you in Psalms. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of my Father, he who eats me, my word, will also live because of me. For earth, for the heavens and earth shall pass away, but not one iota, not one little comma of my word will pass away. So that's why he who eats my word will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from out of heaven, verse 58. Not as the Father ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. So, the eating and the drinking is the reading, meditating, memorizing of the Word, the Scriptures. When we forget who He is, you're going to remember all your troubles. You're going to remember how bad you had it a few years ago. You're going to remember how all your friends have left you and your boss fired you. You're going to remember how she or he broke your heart. And you're going to wallow in that pain because you have forgotten him. You'll remember all your troubles. When we remember what he said, his word, you will forget what troubles you. And that is not just your imagination, it's His promise and what the Holy Spirit does. When you focus your mind on the Word, God will provide the answer and it will amaze you. Because when you forget who He is, every time you're going to be overwhelmed by what you see. But when you remember who He is, you're going to be anchored in what you know, and that's His Word. Look at 2 Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16. Here's a couple of things as we wrap it up in the unveiling. The fact that He revealed to them who He was, and if they would have remembered that He was, He is the resurrection and the life, they would not have feared what they saw on the cross. If they remembered that He is the bread of life, the water of life, they would not have been desperate for those 3 days and 3 nights, and nor would you. Don't forget these things. All Scripture is God-breathed through every writer, the circumstances of their lives, the forming of their character, the situation that they were in, all that they wrote from Genesis to Revelation, from the epistles to the most exciting book of Leviticus and Chronicles, right? All of Scripture, God breathed it out. And it's profitable. The Word of God will teach you. The Word of God will reprove you. And when the Word of God speaks to you and changes you, that conviction is not like your wife nagging you or your husband beating you down with his eyebrows. The Word of God pierces you to be reproved and corrects you because it's training you. It's training you how to live in His righteousness, not yours. Why? So that you, as a man or woman of God, will be equipped, having thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't forget, Scripture is the center of your life. Second, Psalm 19. Do we have that on the notes? Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, Yahweh. If you have that, turn with me. And there's a few. I mean, look at this. The Word of God is perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure, it's clean, it's true, it's more desirable, it's sweet. The Word of God, don't forget, it will restore your soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, it's going to make wise, even if you're simple. The precepts of Yahweh, verse 8, they are right and they will rejoice your heart. It is the fear of Yahweh that's clean and it will endure and keep you strong forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true. They're righteous altogether. Trust the word because it's more desirable than gold, than much gold. Sweeter than honey. By them your slave is warned.
And in keeping them, there's great reward. Remember, he walked with them to that village as they were running away from the city instead of being obedient and waiting there. And he's speaking to them, and then they remembered. It's not that we need some new information or new revelation. What we need is to remember what he has already given us. Himself. Many times after we receive the Lord, we tell people, where is Jesus? Is Jesus in your heart? But there's so much more than that. Jesus is in the word that you hold in your hands. Oh, when will the Lord speak to me? He has already spoken to you. You just have not read it. The problem is that many times we are weak because there's nothing here or here to remember because we have not taken it in. He told them who he was. Do you know who he is? Heavenly Father, Jesus, we love you. The joy of our hearts as we read with the eyes you have given us. We must remember you've given us new eyes beyond the glasses or the surgery. You've removed those cataracts of sin. You've given us the eyes to understand clearly the words you have given to us so fully. Oh, Father, we repent. For often we complain without knowing. We cry without remembering. Thank you, Lord, for walking with us until we see your pierced hands and we know it is you. It is your word. I pray we take it from our hands and, Lord, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to drive it deep into our hearts that we live in you as you live in us. It is in your name we pray, Lord Jesus, as we await your return. Amen.